SCP-6004, The Rainbow Serpent, Part 1. Most monsters in the SCP universe fall into a couple categories. One is a smaller entity that is dangerous on a small scale, killing people one at a time or small groups at a time, and is generally easily enough to be contained by the Foundation. Another are the world-ending threats, the eldritch abominations and unknowable anomalies lurking at the periphery that can easily wipe out all of humanity, and generally do. But sometimes you get some unique monsters that fall somewhere in between. SCP-6004 is what most would consider to be a kaiju, a giant monster on the scale of Godzilla or Ghidorah, although perhaps a bit larger and more destructive than those. It also has a rather particular motive for its destruction, and it's this motive that the Foundation is going to have to contemplate as they engage in warfare with it. Let's dive in. SCP-6004's object class is listed as uncontainable/Tiamat, meaning that it can't be contained without engaging in activities that would break the veil and bring awareness of anomalies to the public. The containment procedures expound on this a little, stating that despite their best efforts, 6004 remains uncontainable until such a time that drastically more powerful containment measures are made available, or SCP-6004 returns to an inactive state of its own accord. As such, current containment procedures revolve around the preparation for such a time, and minimizing collateral damage caused by its current state. SCP-6004 is a massive, serpentine entity of variable size, measuring between 0.2 and 1900 kilometers in length, with mass proportional to its length. While its physiology varies from resembling various Australian snakes, its coloration has consistently been primarily black, with dull prismatic stripes running vertically down its length, with a pale underbelly. It also possesses a pair of horns and a larger array of teeth, more than what would be expected or biologically possible in non-anomalous snakes. Its horns feature thousands of engraved depictions of wildlife. It's capable of moving at abnormally fast speeds, often in excess of 1,200 kilometers per hour on land, and more than twice that underwater. This movement often creates large rifts in the terrain and tsunamis in the water, along with sonic concussions both in and out of the water. It also exhibits strength and durability far beyond what its proportions would suggest, capable of destroying mountains, throwing itself into the upper troposphere, and a bite force strong enough to crush the Foundation's mech units. It is also able to fly while in the air in a fashion similar to swimming. By maintaining consciousness, 6004 is able to alter weather patterns and atmospheric conditions on a global scale at will, primarily by exerting a mild cooling effect on the Earth's average temperature by 2 degrees Celsius. This effect varies in intensity and effect locally, with the most significant changes being intensified snowfall in the glacial areas and poles, increased rainfall in arid areas, and severe thunderstorms globally. The most threatening way it uses this ability is by generating dangerous weather conditions directly in its line of sight, often in response to outside stimulus or its theoretical emotional state. This most commonly takes the form of severe thunderstorms, hurricanes, torrential rain, and the generation of extremely large waves. It uses this ability primarily as a form of offense, typically striking cities, mines, and power plants with severe weather events before striking physically. Rain generated this way has been observed to spontaneously generate plant life within its area of effect, and this plant life has been observed to grow extremely rapidly, and is at times hostile to human life. Lastly, 6004 seems to possess a form of selective tangibility, able to cause damage selectively, seemingly choosing which structures are destroyed or left unharmed during a physical assault, and often using the ability when swallowing organic materials, primarily animals, while avoiding swallowing earth or buildings. It is known to consume living humans when besieging populated areas, and is often observed regurgitating various fauna local to the immediate area. So, it's a massive serpent that can generate incredible weather patterns and seems to have a bit of hatred for human life and civilization. Of course, the Rainbow Serpent is an entity from Australian Aboriginal mythology, often regarded as a creator deity. It is a giver of life, but can be destructive if angered, bringing forth thunder and lightning. It seems that the Rainbow Serpent has been angered. We're given a statement from site director Alan Tibbles on the matter, in which he says that prior to 6004's discovery in March of 2020, there was a lot of discussion within the Foundation regarding how much humanitarian aid to provide towards fighting the 2019-2020 Australian bushfires. They knew it wasn't their problem to deal with, but it's human nature to want to help one another, and in the case of those at the Australian sites, their homelands. Despite his own feelings towards the matter, those at Site 40 were spread too thin to offer any more than nominal support to firefighters and rescue groups, particularly with the growing concern that they had towards the unusual seismic activity being felt around the Australian continent. They knew it was anomalous, and emails and communications were sent back and forth discussing what to do. Ultimately, survey teams were dispatched to find the source, but this was less than successful due to the fires. They decided to wait until things calmed down before trying again, but they all know now what a mistake that was. Tibbles says that the lesson to be learned here is simple. They need to stop working around the poor decisions made by the non-anomalous world and act more directly. Had they done that, they wouldn't be in the mess they now find themselves in. Beginning in December of 1988, unusual seismic activity began to be detected throughout mainland Australia, particularly around the eastern coast of New South Wales. Initially, this wasn't believed to be anomalous, so it was ignored, but over the following years, this seismic activity grew in intensity and frequency, until finally in 2019, it was decided that investigators would be dispatched from Site 40 to investigate. Investigation showed that the source of the activity was located within Wollamai National Park, an area comprised of around 500,000 hectares of wilderness located between the Blue Mountains. Investigations were halted before more precise measurements could be taken due to the bushfires, when intense wildfires affected the area in question, and it was decided that investigation would resume upon the fires being put under control. While waiting for conditions to improve, drastically more intense seismic activity was detected from within the area, culminating when firefighter Mark Delaney was reported to have disobeyed orders while attempting the rescue of a panicked civilian who had fled into dangerous terrain within the national park. The subsequent events led to SCP-6004 emerging from a subterranean cavern and departing the area. Foundation investigation into this event uncovered the remains of Mr. Delaney pinned beneath a large granite boulder close to the ruined entrance to a large subterranean cabin, surrounded by evidence of rock slides and an emergence event. His remains revealed a portable video camera worn on his helmet, which captured the events following his attempted rescue of the as-yet-unknown civilian leading up to the emergence of SCP-6004. In the video, Delaney is working with other firefighters to suppress the fires, in poor visibility. He's requesting support from another firefighter in retrieving a ladder from a truck when an unidentified woman is seen running towards the flames. He calls out for her to stop, but she appears unable to hear him and is in a highly panicked state. She continues into the woodland at speed, with Delaney giving chase. Another firefighter can faintly be heard calling for him to stop. The woman is heard calling out to someone named Jamie as Delaney enters the woodland, obscuring the camera's view with smoke and embers. He continues chasing her, occasionally swearing, falling once but continuing after her. He occasionally loses sight of her, but continues running for another minute and a half before entering a clearing on the edge of a ravine. Past the ravine, a mass of flaming wilderness can be seen, and the woman is cowering at the edge. Delaney approaches the woman, grabbing her and examining her, but she appears hysterical and unresponsive to his questioning. He lifts the woman out of frame and turns to begin carrying her back, but the camera swings over the edge of the ravine and shows a large reptilian mass partially exposed by a fissure in the ground. The reptilian mass then shifts, with the movement seemingly causing another earth tremor. Delaney stumbles, hanging onto the ground, as a jutting ledge on the opposite side of the ravine splits from the surrounding earth, with several flaming trees falling onto the scaled mass. The mass flinches away from the burning vegetation, and much more severe tremors begin. An extremely loud roaring sound can be heard, cutting out the audio for the remainder of the footage as the scaled mass retreats beneath the earth. The camera then looks towards the sky, showing several lightning flashes through the smoke as rain begins to fall. The earth tremors worsen, and the camera moves back to the ravine to show a much larger mass emerging from the earth, resulting in the upheaval of a significant quantity of stone and earth. Frame-by-frame analysis shows that the mass is the head of SCP-6004, on fire and visibly roaring. Delaney and the woman are thrown back, with the camera pointed to the sky. The serpent can be seen rising into the air before disappearing in the smoke. Torrential rain begins to fall into the frame, and the flames recede. Following the emergence of the serpent, severe thunderstorms rapidly formed over the areas affected by the bushfires, effectively dousing them by mid-March. While the Foundation began to track the serpent, investigation revealed that areas affected by these thunderstorms began to exhibit anomalously rapid plant growth. Additionally, both Foundation and mundane weather monitoring organizations detected a reversing of global warming trends. Initially, the serpent remained airborne within these thunderstorms, which progressively expanded in area and began appearing further and further from the location of its origin point. Foundation monitors quickly realized that the anomalous rains formed by it were mainly forming above areas affected by desertification and deforestation. During the initial phase of it remaining within Australian borders, these storms covered thousands of square kilometers of farmland, forests, residential areas, and cities. This was accompanied by large-scale destruction of property as large trees displaced structures. Multiple Foundation sites were mobilized to aid in the search, rescue, and relocation efforts in aid of those affected, with global occult coalition forces also offering support. Meanwhile, multiple unsuccessful efforts were made by the Foundation to neutralize the serpent, which had been determined to be the logical cause of these events. Their efforts were typically met with violence from the snake, often in the form of lightning strikes or bites. It was during one of these failed attempts that the serpent was first observed to attack a human settlement. On March 27th, around 6 weeks after its initial appearance, it directly attacked the city of Canberra. At 10:47 a.m., intense thunderstorms formed over the city, with wind speeds measuring over 140 kilometers per hour. This was promptly followed by the serpent descending from the clouds and making landfall, having attained an unknown size and mass. It proceeded to strike and bite the ground across the city, swallowing a great measure of infrastructure as well as the city's inhabitants. Notably, it targeted Parliament House in particular, flinging most of the building and its occupants into the air with extreme force, with some debris and individuals later being seen orbiting Earth. This attack prompted response from multiple Foundation MTFs, including both ETA-5, Jaeger bombers, and Tau-5, Samsara. But by the time of their arrival, the Serpent had departed and 74% of the city was destroyed, with 197,000 people missing. No bodies were located, and survivors were subjected to mass amnesticization with the cover story of an asteroid impact. Despite renewed efforts from both the Foundation and the GOC to neutralize, redirect, or otherwise contain the Serpent, it continued to attack human settlements, largely targeting cities, mines, areas of intense pollution, and coal power plants. Each of these attacks resulted in the majority of the population of the given area being consumed by the snake, with surviving surveillance footage showing the snake to be simultaneously tangible and intangible, as it visibly phased through structures believed to have been deliberately left intact by the entity. Following these attacks, the Serpent has always been observed to travel to remote locations and regurgitate consumed materials. Ensuing investigation into these sightings showed drastically increased wildlife populations in areas where the snake was seen to vomit, as well as increased fertility in the soil. Due to the scale of the damage, survivors began to be housed in safer areas of locations previously attacked. Temporary power sources became necessary on a large scale due to the disruption to power grids, with many turning to solar power. During resettlement, many survivors and Foundation staff reported a large increase in the populations of native wildlife, which did not interfere in resettlement efforts. In late February, the Foundation, the GOC, Marshall Carter and Dark, and a major sect of the Church of the Broken God came to a truce so as to determine a method of control and containment for the snake. A think tank was organized involving various experts from across the four groups to try and establish a working theory as to the nature of 6004. Each group independently presented noteworthy similarities between 6004 and Australian Aboriginal Dreamtime stories of the Rainbow Serpent. Research into all available folklore and consultation with relevant unaffiliated persons was initiated with the goal to find a ritual or other avenue of interference that could be used in the entity's containment. Parallel with the think tank, the Foundation and GOC began expedited development of experimental weaponry, designed with the assumptions that 6004 shared metaphysical similarities with some other redacted entity. This project came to be known as Project Mongoose. Following the destruction of Sydney, an investigatory unit operating out of Site 40 was deployed to the area in an attempt to gather any information possible about 6004 and its effect on areas attacked by it. As this was the first major city to be destroyed, it was hoped that some significant information would be discovered. The team arrived in northern Sydney and were instructed to head for Rush Cutters Bay via the city center, as the destruction was particularly intense in the former region. The team was instructed to document and mark the locations of any notable anomalies that had resulted from the Serpent's attack, as well as mark survivors' locations with flares for Foundation rescue teams. We're provided with a transcript of a video taken from Captain John Vercoe's body camera, starting with them traveling on foot through Sydney's city center. Much of the surrounding structures are severely damaged by emerging plant life, particularly large eucalyptus trees, along with signs of massive impact events. There is steady rain and occasional flashes of lightning. One agent is using a chainsaw to remove fallen timbers from their path, and as they continue on, they notice a number of koalas within the treetops looking down at them, noting that they definitely weren't living here before. They see wildlife frequently as they continue, with the animals universally avoiding the team, except for multiple snakes, which raise their heads and watch the team pass. Suddenly, they see a large mass moving behind some vegetation, so they attempt to flush it out by tossing a stone. There's a dull thud and a deep grunting sound from the bushes as the creature begins moving towards the team, forcing them into cover. A large, brown, furred quadruped emerges from the bushes, approximately 2 meters tall, snorting and grunting. It stops upon reaching the clearing where the team is and looks around. One of the team asks if it's a giant wombat, but Command has no knowledge of it, with one researcher commenting that it looks like reconstructions of Diprotodon, an extinct giant wombat. It begins to snort and throw its head in the air aggressively, pawing at the ground and approaching one of the agents. He aims his weapon at it and begins backing away, but the animal follows. The captain tells him to slowly back away and to stop shouting, so he does so. The animal stops before roaring at him, and after a moment, it snorts and begins eating grass before returning to the bushes. The team decides to keep moving, as they don't want to be here if the serpent comes back. They continue towards Rushcutter's Bay, eventually reaching the edge of a large crater formed by the serpent striking at the earth. Trees and vines can be seen growing visibly larger within the crater, and kangaroos are foraging among the area. One of the team asks how big the snake has to be to do this, with the captain responding that it varies between 400 meters to over 1,000 kilometers long. Virko tells Command that they're going to need to detour around the crater, with Command advising that they've detected movement in the trees and buildings above them. They continue along the lip of the crater, before coming to a ruined apartment block overhanging the edge. A group of large kangaroos, approximately 2.5 meters tall, are grazing beside it, looking over at the team. The team goes around them, as a researcher at Command says that these are an extinct, short-faced kangaroo. One of the agents then spots a moderately large animal emerging from a hole in the wall of an apartment building, its eyes reflecting the light into the camera. The team takes cover and aims their weapons toward it as it slowly climbs down the side of the building towards the kangaroos. One of the team remarks that it looks like that thing up in Canada, referencing SCP-4715, but the researcher says that it's a marsupial lion, a powerful predator. The animal proceeds to drop from the building onto the back of one of the large kangaroos, grabbing it and biting it around the neck. The others scatter rapidly, fleeing into the trees, as the lion kills the kangaroo and drags its carcass back up the side of the apartment block. Two smaller marsupial lions can be seen at the edge of the hole where the larger one emerged from, vocalizing loudly. The rest of the team covers the captain as he moves to recover the kangaroo's severed head, and as he picks it up and moves to place it in a containment pouch, one of the team notices something quite odd about it. The head of the short-faced kangaroo bears a tattoo on its brow ridge, consisting of the words live, laugh, love, and a stylized human skull. The log ends here, and following review of the footage, the tattoos were matched to those on John Baring, a tattoo artist whose body was not recovered following the snake's attack on Sydney. It's now believed that all animals emerging in the wake of SCP-6004 attacks are people that have been transfigured into wildlife within SCP-6004 before being regurgitated. So, not only is there a massive snake rampaging across Australia, it's also swallowing people by the thousands and turning them into various forms of animals. It seems like a very difficult task for the Foundation to keep this all under wraps, and on June 5th, Site Director Alan Tibbles released another statement, which reads, "Things haven't gone well. From the total loss of Australia, the discovery that it's eating us and vomiting us up as animals, and the veil of secrecy being annihilated. It has been a bad few months. I know many of you don't believe that we can turn this around, but you're wrong. The Foundation has always managed to tip the scales back to our favor. Time and again, we have contained the uncontainable and recontained it when it escaped. We have saved humanity time and again from extinction. We have handled the whims of mad gods and bent the will of world governments. We have restarted the world a time or two. So I say this. We will rebuild what this snake has destroyed. We will find its weakness, and we will lock it away. We will begin again, using anomalous means until we're back on our feet. And when the work is done, we will help the world to forget the horror that we have faced these past few months. But right now, the big job is still ahead of us. We are continuing to build upon our weapons and containment experiments. We are learning more every day about SCP-6004, and we are getting closer to the answers we need. I just need you to dig deep and do our part in bringing this thing down. Yes, it has shrugged off all our efforts thus far, and yes, it is attacking settlements on a near global scale now. But now the veil is down. We don't have to pull our punches anymore. We can throw all we have at it. We can take what we have learned in this document, forge it into a weapon, and use it to win. So now it seems that the snake has gone beyond Australia and is attacking places across the world. This is pretty bad, obviously, but now the Foundation can really go after it without worrying about keeping things a secret. In the weeks following the destruction of Sydney, 6004 went on to not only attack all other major Australian settlements, but extended its range into Asia, Europe, Africa, and Antarctica, where it behaved similarly. While the Foundation and the GOC did make hundreds of attempts to stop, incapacitate, neutralize, or otherwise contain it through various means, including but not limited to the use of mechs, L-guns, high-energy concentration orbital railguns, and Class Sigma autocannons, it continued to attack settlements with impunity. The death toll so far is believed to be in the billions. Worldwide, it has now lowered the average global temperature by 0.7 degrees Celsius, replenished glacial and polar ice, and refilled depleted lakes and river systems. Much of the world's deforestation has been reversed, and dozens of species of wildlife have been declared to be no longer endangered or extinct. It's estimated that over 40% of human metropolitan areas have been rendered uninhabitable within 6004's area of effect, and relocation projects have been made a priority. Due to the serpent's targeting of dams, coal fire plants, and large cities, numerous temporary solar power arrays and nuclear power plants have been erected worldwide to cope with power demands, and both the Foundation and the GOC have resorted to anomalous means of food production to aid in the supply of rations to refugees. The handling of governments worldwide has become a priority, as many nations have moved to defend themselves from the serpent militarily. The GOC has volunteered to use its UN channels to manage the issue, with the focus being on ensuring global government's priority is on the rescue and shelter of citizens rather than the bolstering of military forces, which has thus far proven ineffective at best and provocative at worst. While media suppression was possible in the weeks immediately following the snake's emergence, albeit extremely difficult, the expanding area subjected to the snake's attacks has made it impossible to conceal. As of now, the veil of secrecy is to be considered broken, and no further efforts to conceal the existence or effects of SCP-6004 are being made, as this has been deemed a waste of Foundation resources. It's hoped that the lowered global population may aid in global amnesticization programs in the event that SCP-6004 be successfully contained or neutralized. That's a rather grim way to look at things, I suppose. We're next given a list of locations around the world where the serpent has either attacked or otherwise affected in some way. It's noted that hundreds of examples have been omitted from this list for the sake of brevity, so needless to say, the snake has been very active. In Canberra, Australia, 6004 landed on the city and rapidly struck at it with its mouth, accompanied by hurricane-force winds and thunderstorms. The death toll was nearly 200,000, and the snake appeared to target Parliament House in particular, a trend seen reflected in subsequent attacks on capital cities. In Sydney, 6004 remained in the clouds, only striking the ground occasionally while tsunamis flooded the city. Over 3 million were lost, and the offices of major mining and oil companies were specifically targeted with physical strikes from the snake, as was the area of Rushcutters Bay, with temperate forests rapidly taking hold afterwards. Over in Hong Kong, the serpent directly attacked the city after multiple days of severe storms and monsoons. It dropped its tail into the sea and swept multiple massive waves at Hong Kong Island before landing its entire mass between Hong Kong Island and Kowloon. Over 6 million were lost, and multiple waves were reported to exceed 200 meters in height. Despite the thoroughness of the attack, however, multiple skyscrapers remained standing. On the flip side, the Aral Sea between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan was refilled by rainstorms over a period of 9 months. Lightning strikes and flood damage caused much of the Soviet irrigation systems responsible for the drainage of the sea to be destroyed, allowing water flow to return to pre-Soviet routes. A perpetual rainstorm has also now formed over the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, with plastics and other debris hit by this rain being observed to transform into multiple different forms of marine life, including fish, cetaceans, coral polyps, jellyfish, and something redacted from the record. Another direct attack occurred at the Three Gorges Dam in China, with the snake destroying the entire structure. Following the impact, 37 billion cubic meters of water flooded down the Yangtze River, with widespread flooding in 6 different provinces. Multiple cities and other dams were destroyed in the process, resulting in over 400 million deaths. Despite multiple drainage attempts prior to the attack, the perpetual thunderstorms to the north of the river caused by 6004 had caused the dam's reservoir to be extremely full. At a coal-fired power plant in Taiwan, multiple lightning strikes entered the plant, causing a series of steam explosions. The precise nature of the rapid lightning strike suggests that 6004 is able to understand the plant's function by unknown means. The 11 glaciers atop Mount Kenya in Kenya began rapidly expanding at the same time as the serpent awoke, and it's estimated that all of the glaciers will return to their pre-1890 levels by 2030. A nuclear processing plant in Russia was attacked by the snake, in which it proceeded to swallow multiple structures, including multiple disused nuclear reactors and waste storage tanks. Thunderstorms here also caused rapid plant growth, and Foundation investigations following the attack showed that nuclear contamination in the region has reduced drastically. In the Sahel region in North Africa, long periods of rainstorms formed over the entire region, triggering anomalously rapid plant growth and soil revitalization. The serpent itself directly struck several communities, swallowing and transfiguring nearly a million people into wildlife. As a result, an area of 650,000 square kilometers that had previously been seriously affected by desertification reverted to semi-tropical forests and bushlands. The Congo Basin in Central Africa experienced a widespread reforestation as a result of the rainstorms, and multiple settlements within the area previously within forest boundaries were attacked, with over 48 million transfigured. An area of 148,000 square kilometers had been converted to rainforest, and numerous endangered and previously extinct animals have been reported to be inhabiting the area in large numbers. In an area of grazing lands in eastern Australia, the snake directly attacked over a period of several weeks, consuming over 70 million livestock animals before rainstorms triggered the growth of native flora in the form of temperate forests. Wildlife regurgitated in this area has primarily been previously extinct animals and has drastically changed the local environment. The presence of numerous specimens of carnivorous megafauna in the area has rendered it unlikely to be resettled in the future. The serpent flew over much of Antarctica, causing increased snowfall and causing increased auroras over the southern pole. The increased snowfall resulted in the reformation of approximately 3 trillion tons of ice. It was also seen to circle Mount Sidley, a dormant volcano, for 19 days, although the reason for this is currently unknown despite Foundation investigation. At an offshore oil platform in the Republic of Angola, the serpent attacked the platform from below the surface of the sea, physically pulling it beneath the surface and repeatedly slamming it into the seafloor. Structure remnants rapidly converted to coral reef over the following months, and it's theorized that the immense pressure generated by 6004's body mass crushing the station has effectively plugged the oil well. At an open pit mine in Papua New Guinea, rainstorms formed over the mine pit and surrounding areas, but did not cause plant growth. Instead, it detoxified the soil contaminated by mining waste. The serpent then approached the mine via a river and swallowed much of the contaminated riverbed before emerging and proceeding to fill in the mine with surrounding earth before departing. The rainforest regrew in the area following the attack, and pollution levels in the nearby rivers has dropped to nearly zero. At a landfill in Italy, thunderstorms appeared over the area, with the rains converting much of the waste into fungus, trees, and insects. A large portion of the waste was converted into wasps and bees, resulting in vastly increased natural pollination. In India, the serpent physically entered the Ganges Delta via the Bay of Bengal, attacking numerous settlements before swimming up the river at low speed over the course of 24 days. It was observed to have its mouth open, with its lower jaw scraping the riverbed and swallowing it, with its entire mass filling the river. It repeatedly attacked structures and settlements on the banks of the river, resulting in the destruction of multiple dams and the loss of over 250 million people. Notably, the serpent did not harm an organization dedicated to the conservation and cleaning of the Ganges River during this attack. Military forces repeatedly attempted to intercept and attack the serpent, but were either ignored or crushed in the process. Following its departure, the Ganges River was found to be clean and heavily populated by fish and dolphins. Over in Tanzania, rainfall over a region of wilderness was reported similar to other affected areas, but induced changes in local wildlife. Animals killed by human activities such as poaching and trophy hunting were observed to recover, in some cases multiple times. Following wildlife recovery, massively increased aggression towards humans has been observed, with numerous reports of lions, leopards, hyenas, and elephant attacks occurring daily. Glaciers in the Himalayan mountain range also expanded when 6004 awoke, and rainfall in the area introduced forests to areas affected by deforestation. Multiple settlements were converted to wildlife, with similar aggression and regenerative abilities seen in Tanzania, Siberia, and the Ganges, with a total of 28 million lost. Very curiously, numerous reports of SCP-1000 sightings in the region were noted. Finally, thunderstorms formed over numerous palm oil plantations in Indonesia, causing native vegetation to rapidly grow in an area exceeding 280,000 hectares. Native vegetation grown in this way was seen actively strangling oil palms, and 6004 was observed to strike at the workers on these plantations from the air, consuming them. These areas were frequently revisited by SCP-6004 for the purpose of regurgitating consumed individuals in the form of native wildlife. Following the destruction of the Three Gorges Dam in China, Foundation plants within the Chinese government reported significant unrest within the party. There was immediate mobilization of military assets not affected by the floods, under the name of preparedness. Despite attempted Foundation intervention, much of China's military resources were relocated to Beijing, including at least 80 nuclear weapons. Multiple attempts were made by both Foundation and GOC diplomats to discourage the CCP from antagonizing or engaging SCP-6004, citing the failure of India's military during the Ganges attack and potential fallout, but failed to make progress and were eventually barred from discussions with the Chinese government. Multiple plants remained within the party and continued to relay information to the Foundation and GOC. Rather than use further resources attempting to negotiate with China, it was determined that the Foundation would continue to prioritize the attempted containment of 6004 and the development of Project Mongoose. So, it seems that an unstoppable threat has started rampaging across the world in a rage against humanity, and humanity is damn sure trying to find a way to stop it. Keeping something like that under wraps was pretty much always going to be a lost cause, but the Foundation's usual MO in a situation like this is to neutralize the threat and then get things back to normal through whatever means necessary. The only issue is if they can't neutralize the threat. It's very likely that nukes are going to make an appearance soon, and we'll just have to see how effective the Foundation's Project Mongoose is. Chances are that it's not Godzilla, but it could be.
SCP-6004, The Rainbow Serpent, Part 2. When last we left off, a giant snake out of Australian Aboriginal mythology had awoken and begun a hateful rampage across the earth. Humanity was apparently a disease, and it sure seemed to be the cure, effortlessly demolishing entire cities and converting millions of people into other animals. The veil of secrecy surrounding anomalies was completely shattered, as various world militaries tried to fight back to no avail, and not even the Foundation or the GOC could bring the Great Snake down. They've still got a trick up their sleeve, however, the mysterious Project Mongoose, but there may not be much left of civilization by the time they get it ready. To make matters worse, it seems that the Chinese especially aren't going to go down without a fight, and are prepping their nuclear weapons to finish off the beast once and for all. Let's continue. At 4:23 p.m. on October 27th, 2020, Foundation satellites detected that SCP-6004 was airborne and approaching the biggest metropolitan region of China. Shortly afterwards, Site 40 received a message from an agent embedded within the Chinese government reporting that the party is in a state of panic, the military is on high alert, and officials are talking about nuclear weapons. The agent was advised to attempt to discourage the use of nuclear weapons, and it was decided that an early prototype for Project Mongoose was to be diverted to the South China Sea and used in an attempt to incapacitate the serpent before it could arrive in the metropolitan region. It was theorized that despite operating at 37% of the capacity of the projected output of the finished weapon, the prototype would be able to induce unconsciousness or a sleep state in 6004. A camera feed from some recovered military footage shows a battalion of soldiers readying to attack, with multiple artillery and rocket launch platforms in sight amidst the heavy rain. Lightning frequently illuminates the scene, and the serpent can be seen approaching from the southwest within the cloud cover, approximately 8 kilometers away. A sergeant can be seen in the foreground on a radio, requesting for Air Force support. The serpent's head dips below the clouds as it approaches, and it visibly shifts its appearance to resemble different species of snakes simultaneously while roaring loudly. Multiple rocket platforms appear to be readied, and multiple gunships enter the frame, opening fire onto the serpent, who doesn't react as it continues flying. A gunship is forced to take evasive action as a coil of the serpent's body emerges from cloud cover, colliding with the ship, which detonates. 18 ballistic missiles are then launched from the ground, entering cloud cover and detonating. For a brief moment, a number of soldiers can be seen staring at the clouds, some asking one another if it had been killed, before the serpent emerges from the clouds at high speed. Multiple lightning strikes hit the area, killing most of the soldiers on the ground instantly. Task forces operating out of multiple Chinese Foundation sites were mobilized to aid in the evacuation of civilians across the serpent's projected path. As the evacuations were carried out, numerous Chinese Air Force combatants were dispatched to attack the serpent, with multiple eyewitness accounts reporting that 6004 largely ignored these attacks. It instead continued heading northeast towards Beijing, with widespread thunderstorms and anomalous plant growth following in its wake. Foundation and GOC forces began treatment and organization of evacuated civilians within various staging areas throughout China. Task Force 341, tasked with aiding in the evacuation of Beijing, was halted by armed forces and ordered to exit the area. Despite multiple attempts at diplomacy, they were forced to withdraw, and sent a communication to Site 40 stating that the evacuation of Beijing was impossible due to the military locking down the city on the orders of the General Secretary, and they've declared the Foundation to be enemies of the state. The ship carrying Project Mongoose was 40 minutes out at this point, and due to multiple reports of military attacks on Foundation and GOC forces, the decision was made that all task forces would withdraw. By 5:03 p.m., all Foundation activity within northeast China had ceased, with all forces returning to their home sites with minimal losses. 6004 continued to approach Beijing despite increasingly heavy resistance from the military. At 5:09, the agent in the Chinese government sent a message that they were going to launch nuclear weapons, and he couldn't stop them. Following this message, the SCPS Indominus was ordered to fire the Mongoose prototype as soon as possible. At 5:14, the serpent reached the outskirts of the metropolitan region as air raid sirens sound out over the cities and civilians can be seen fleeing indoors. A very large storm front can be seen approaching from the southwest, with the serpent within it. Multiple military aircraft are engaging it to no effect, and thunderstorms are rapidly forming over the entire region. Heavy rain begins to fall, and large masses of vegetation form from the ground and architecture of the cities, causing massive structural damages. Numerous lightning bolts repeatedly strike multiple skyscrapers, and the serpent soon coils above the city of Baoding, with the lightning strikes ceasing. At 5:16, it strikes the city, destroying 7 skyscrapers and hitting the ground. It proceeds to scrape the ground with its mouth, forcing numerous vehicles and structures down its throat. Multiple CCTV cameras show civilians falling into the throat as the snake slowly circles the city, moving in an inward spiral.
It swallows both terrain and buildings, although some buildings are spared, with footage showing the snake passing through them harmlessly. Military aircraft then begin bombing runs, although multiple bombs detonate on its back with no effect. One aircraft is seen to deliberately ram the snake's eye, detonating violently. It fails to notice this, however, and continues its consumption of the city. Multiple tornadoes and lightning bolts begin to strike multiple sites within the metropolitan region, targeting skyscrapers in particular. By 519, it has finished consuming Baoding and rears its head into the air, ignoring the efforts of the Air Force. It turns to face Beijing and begins rapidly approaching as the Air Force retreats. The SCP-S Indominus reports that it will be in range in 70 seconds, as numerous sirens sound within Beijing. A recording of China's head of state plays over loudspeakers across the city, stating that it's better for Beijing to fall than for all of China to be overrun. Indominus finally makes it into range, requesting permission to fire, as 12 nuclear warheads are launched simultaneously from within China. Tornadoes and lightning strikes continue to ravage the area, with large masses of vegetation forming over the ruins. The nuclear warheads strike the serpent on separate parts of its body simultaneously, 43 kilometers southwest from Beijing. The resulting blasts are estimated to have yields ranging from 5 to 16 megatons, causing the serpent to recoil and windows within a 68 kilometer radius to shatter. For comparison, the nuclear bomb dropped on Nagasaki only had a blast yield of 21 kilotons. Indominus reports sighting of a flash of light from the direction of Beijing, as rainfall, tornadoes, and lightning strikes cease in the area, and the upper portion of the serpent is obscured by mushroom clouds. O5 Command orders the Indominus to charge the Mongoose prototype regardless, and onboard cameras show the barrels of the Mongoose aiming towards the serpent as the device begins to emit green light and high-pitched wailing vocalizations. The serpent then roars and rears above Beijing, with its head and much of its body aflame. It does not display any sign of damage despite this, and tosses its head violently, extinguishing the flames, before turning towards Beijing and flinging itself at the city. Its body, along with multicolored bolts of electricity coming out of it, cause catastrophic damage, and thunderstorms, tornadoes, and winds in excess of 450 kilometers per hour spontaneously form over the area. It strikes the ground repeatedly, thrashing its tail across the region, leaving multiple large craters. The Air Force re-engages with the serpent, with multiple aircraft deliberately colliding with it as it continues to strike the Earth. Lava begins to emerge from multiple craters as a result of its strikes, while Project Mongoose technicians aboard the Indominus begin the firing sequence. The prototype begins wailing more intensely and emitting flashes of dark green light. The last remaining aircraft retreat from SCP-6004, and it eventually stops striking at the ground as it surveys the area. Tornadoes and lightning storms dissipate, and vegetation begins to form in areas unaffected by the emergence of lava. The entirety of Beijing and the surrounding area has been demolished, with no structures surviving, and the serpent begins to roar and vocalize repeatedly. At 5:28, Project Mongoose technicians report that it's ready to be fired, and the O5s grant permission to fire. Upon activation, the crew of the SCP-S Indominus were lost, and a large, sustained beam composed of something expunged from the record fires from Project Mongoose, accompanied by an intense, screaming sound. Satellite visuals are also lost as a result of the weapon firing. A fault, however, occurs within the Mongoose prototype, causing an energy failure and the machine shuts down. Satellite visuals are regained as the weapon's vocalizations cease, showing that the entity appears to have taken notice of the beam. It rapidly propels itself into the cloud cover, visibly tracking the mongoose beam as it passes and impacts a mountain range, destroying approximately 32 square kilometers. The serpent emits a low vocalization and approaches the Indominus, entering the South China Sea and raising its head out of the water to inspect the prototype for 4 minutes before submerging itself beneath the surface and leaving the area. Following the departure of the serpent from the area, no search and rescue operations were carried out in the region. The death toll from this incident has been estimated as being in excess of 140 million. An investigation into the former site of Beijing showed the formation of 3 fault lines, previously undiscovered species of flora and fauna, and masses of human remains. 6004 was tracked to the Pacific Ocean before being lost in deep waters. After a period of several hours, it was deemed to be safe for the Indominus and the Mongoose prototype to be recovered, with further research and development to be carried out. Well, that didn't seem to go well for anyone. Project Mongoose seems to have been a big failure, although, to be fair, it was only an untested prototype. As for what exactly it is, we're provided a bit of an overview on it. Following the serpent's emergence, multiple attempts at containment were made, with conventional means quickly proving to be useless, along with high-level foundation devices. Hecor devices bounced off its hide, Class Sigma autocannon fire passed through it, Scranton reality anchor-derived devices had no effect, and their mech units were at best bulldozed and at worst totally ignored. In short, the Foundation needed a new weapon, and whether it would allow for 6004's containment or its neutralization was deemed irrelevant. To this end, the Foundation reached out to the GOC, whose prowess at killing anomalous entities was famed, feared, and even hated throughout the anomalous community. The GOC were, of course, already aware of the entity and were working towards its neutralization. They were receptive towards a collaboration, and development soon began, utilizing numerous resources, both mundane and anomalous. As the serpent began to move over larger portions of the globe, development became increasingly desperate. Both Marshall Carter and Dark and Church of the Broken God assets were recruited and used in the construction of the device, in addition to the combined resources of the GOC and the Foundation. This collaboration led to what has become known as Project Mongoose, a long-range, charged particle emitter that draws on thaumaturgical, reverse-siphoned Hume energies and something else redacted to produce a devastating directed blast. It was agreed that the GOC would manufacture the charged particle emitter, while the Foundation would manufacture the barrel and focusing rings necessary to amplify and control the beam. Specialists from the Church of the Broken God aided both parties in the construction of these elements. Each site produced a smaller prototype for the purposes of testing, with one of these prototypes being fired at the serpent in Beijing. As of November 23, 2020, the serpent has expanded its area of operation to encompass the entire globe. Multiple attacks within the Americas are being reported daily, and Project Mongoose has been completed. Due to the prototype's charge sequence causing the annihilation of all life forms within a 444-meter radius of it, all components have been fitted, mounted aboard a GOC-class Lincoln satellite, and launched into orbit, from where it will be fired remotely. Due to the immense energy requirements and complex reactions, Orbital Project Mongoose requires 444 seconds to fire after the location has been locked. As such, it is now the Foundation's responsibility to fire it at 6004 when an opportunity arises, with all efforts being made to create such a window of opportunity.
Following the destruction of Beijing, the serpent was not seen for a period of 9 days, remaining submerged in the world's oceans. An overall improvement in the health of coral reefs was detected, and numerous vessels were lost at sea in hurricanes and squalls. By now, the remaining governments had taken shelter in subterranean bunkers, and a joint effort between the Foundation and the GOC has been working towards relocating and safely housing survivors of attacks, with both organizations producing food, medicine, and power via anomalous means. Soon, the serpent was detected beneath the Arctic ice pack, with pack ice being seen thickening and expanding, returning to pre-1948 levels within 2 days. It then proceeded to circle an area slightly outside the Arctic Circle and portions of northern Siberia, Canada, and Alaska, consuming large numbers of livestock and humans. Various extinct flora and fauna returned to these areas during this time, and glaciation rates increased to a large degree, in some cases expanding over towns and a subterranean foundation site. Despite multiple attempts to target the snake with Project Mongoose, it proved too mobile for a lock to be made. It then shifted its focus to the Americas, causing widespread rainstorms, plant growth, and reintroduction of endangered and extinct species, coinciding with mass disappearances of civilian populations within densely populated cities throughout much of South America, with a particularly large portion of time and activity centered on the Amazon rainforest. It continued to target large urban centers and environmentally damaging installations, and was first seen in the US when it attacked Washington, D.C. It was observed to actively engage with military forces by roaring and vocalizing at them before striking with lightning. The attack took place over a 40-minute period, where it proceeded to consume large portions of the city. Attempts to evacuate the U.S. president and staff failed when the Presidential Emergency Operations Center was flooded, when the serpent caused the Potomac River to flood much of the city ruins. It continued in this fashion over much of the United States, Mexico, and Canada, striking particularly hard at large cities such as Toronto, Los Angeles, Mexico City, and New York City. Enormous stretches of land, including 43% of the United States, were converted to forests by anomalous rainfall, with large numbers of people and animals being consumed and regurgitated by the entity. Disruptions to the U.S. power grid triggered the cascading failures of numerous nuclear power plants, necessitating Foundation and GOC intervention to prevent multiple nuclear meltdowns from occurring. Meanwhile, Foundation historians and archaeologists have conducted extensive research into Australian Aboriginal mythology, particularly in regards to the Rainbow Serpent. It's now believed that oral Dreamtime stories passed down over millennia referred to confrontations with SCP-6004, and that the entity has attacked humanity before. These attacks have been preceded by periods of environmental instability, and were often resolved by various rituals, abandonment of environmentally damaging practices, or in some cases by guardian spirits engaging the Rainbow Serpent in battle. Should Project Mongoose fail, and containment proves temporarily impossible, the Foundation will have to consider influencing a significant shift in the way in which modern civilization functions, so as to not draw 6004's attention until containment becomes possible. The prospect of seeking out one of these protector spirits to intervene on behalf of the Foundation is also being considered. At this point, 6004's range is to be considered global, and Foundation and GOC political ambassadors are encouraging world governments to limit military activity and to move their populations outside of urban areas. Areas not targeted by the serpent have been prioritized as temporary resettlement locations, and efforts are being made to safely provide housing for the world's population without drawing the serpent's attention. After a period of 49 days of activity over the Americas, during which there was no opportunity to activate Mongoose, the serpent began displaying interest in numerous Foundation and GOC facilities, circling the sites but not approaching for unknown reasons. It was during one of these events that it began examining the Global Occult Coalition Advanced Weaponry Facility, one of the two locations where Project Mongoose was developed. While investigating it, the snake began to exhibit signs of agitation, and satellite imaging showed the facility entering a lockdown, with multiple weapons platforms, including their Mongoose prototype, being activated. It was at this time that the O5 Council voted 8-5 to fire the orbital Mongoose upon both the Serpent and the Advanced Weapons Facility. The ends justify the means, as usual. Orbital Project Mongoose is activated and begins its charging sequence. Guidance rails and focusing rings can be seen moving into position as the barrel system aims at both the facility and the Serpent. Green light and wailing vocalizations begin emitting from the device, causing numerous visual glitches and illusions to appear on footage acquired from onboard cameras. GOC access to the weapon is blocked, and the GOC attempts to contact Site-19 but are ignored. Multiple attempts to access Project Mongoose are detected and blocked, and diplomatic ambassadors are sent to meeting sites to ensure GOC cooperation. SCP-6004 begins to vocalize loudly and continues circling the site, seeming to direct the vocalizations at the AWF. Movement from the Serpent causes a portion of the AWF's exterior to separate from the surrounding mountainside, resulting in an unidentified weapons platform mounted to this region to fire prematurely. The projectile impacts the snake's tail and detonates violently, but causes no damage. It stops vocalizing for a moment, however, and begins roaring and coiling into a striking position. Multiple weapons platforms begin firing at the Serpent, and numerous shielding devices can be seen activating. Wind speeds immediately increase drastically, and rainstorms spontaneously generate. The Serpent strikes at the AWF, destroying a large portion of the mountainside which the site is housed in. Their Mongoose prototype fires at the Serpent with a sustained beam following its movements, and can be seen visibly irritating its skin on contact, causing it to recoil and begin dodging the beam. Multiple energy pulses are seen emitting from the prototype, annihilating all vegetation within 200 meters. Multiple lightning bolts strike at the site, but are redirected by GOC shield generators. The Serpent attempts to fling large portions of earth and rock towards the prototype with its tail, but is unsuccessful due to the site's shielding system. Following several seconds of uninterrupted impact from the prototype, the Serpent roars and emits a stream of multicolored energy from its mouth towards the prototype, causing it to misfire and re-enter a charging phase. The Serpent proceeds to wrap around the mountain and strike down at the prototype, resulting in a massive energy discharge, largely negated by remaining shielding devices. Orbital Project Mongoose readies to fire as the Serpent continues to strike down at the facility, breaching the top as GOC operatives inside attempt to evacuate. The Serpent rears back for another strike as the Orbital Project Mongoose fires a sustained beam, with resultant vocalizations, described as a metallic scream, being heard by surrounding satellites and in a 44-kilometer radius of the facility. The Serpent raises its head towards the source of the noise and is engulfed in the beam, along with the AWF. The beam's impact annihilates the facility,
with the weapon's energy flood and negative Hume field disintegrating all life forms within a 444-kilometer radius. 3 minutes later, the weapon ceases firing on the O5's orders, and both the facility and surrounding mountains have been completely destroyed. A large crater has been formed by the beam's impact, with the serpent line amidst the crater and surrounding areas, displaying moderate burns over much of its body. It then rises from the ground and roars, thrashing its head and tail as lightning emits from multiple points on its body, and the burns to its scales heal rapidly. Rainfall and wind speed intensifies, and the serpent begins to rapidly expand and coil around itself, looking upwards. Visual contact is lost as storm clouds thicken, so the council orders the weapon to fire again. The weapon fires a second sustained beam, clearing much of the generated storm clouds. SCP-6004 can be seen struggling against the beam and coiling on the ground before rapidly launching itself upwards into orbit. The weapon ceases firing automatically as proximity sensors detect an imminent collision, and the serpent proceeds to grab the satellite platform within its mouth before falling back down rapidly towards Foundation Site 19. Following this, all contact with Site 19 was lost, and later assessment revealed that the upper levels of the site had suffered catastrophic damage. The upper six levels had collapsed and been strangled by extremely robust vegetation. A majority of the structure's upper floors had been displaced, with the remains of Project Mongoose largely annihilated. Multiple SAFE and Euclid-class SCP objects had breached containment, being either destroyed in the event or still currently missing, although the lower levels of the site remain uncompromised. Rescue efforts following the attack were able to evacuate some of the surviving staff, and a statement was provided by a site technician. He says that he was working on a broken fast access cart down in Euclid Block when all the lights went red and the alarms went off. He started running to the shelters, assuming that it was a standard containment breach, but then the banging and explosions started. He says that it felt like an earthquake, and you could hear the upper levels caving in. He was so busy looking at the supports that he didn't watch his feet and fell, getting trampled in the process. This also made him miss getting into the shelter before the bulkhead shut, so he ran down to the workshop where there was an LSA attack vehicle. He jumped in, held his hands over his ears, and watched the security feed before it went down. He says that it felt like he was watching the end of the world, as the snake crushes the whole eastern compound and throws the Mongoose platform into the admin ward. All the guns and missiles were unloading on it, and it was like trying to put out a wildfire with a water balloon. He saw it scream on the video and heard it 24 floors down, rupturing both of his eardrums. Then it started blasting the site with that rainbow lightning. The feed cut out and the roof collapsed. Water started pouring in and he thought he was going to drown, but it started to drain to the lower levels. He could hear the people in the bunker screaming as something had gotten in there with them, but he doesn't want to know what. Then there was another quake, and the serpent was gone. The MTFs rolled in not long after, rescuing those who had survived, and started on getting the SCPs back into their cells, noting that he heard that a lot of the D-class helped with the rescuing. He's just glad that the serpent didn't try and dig down to the rest of the site. Following rescue and excavation efforts, it was determined through witness interviews that SCP-6004 had attacked Site 19 largely with the use of the same energy seen in Beijing and the GOC facility, throwing Orbital Project Mongoose at the site's administrative wing and by physically landing on the eastern compound before striking at the main site. This was confirmed by the recovery of the Guardian AI log, which documented the AI's attempts to defend the site from the serpent. The AI initially projected the site's destruction probability at 96%, and the staff survival rate at 23%. The serpent's initial electrical projectile attack took the site's shields completely offline and caused around 18,000 casualties. It then collided with the east wing, bringing the casualty estimate up to 48,000. It threw the Mongoose platform into the admin building, which meant that the weapon systems no longer fired on the serpent due to the risk of triggering the Mongoose accidentally, wiping out the whole site. Between the flooding, the physical attack, and the electrical attacks, 87% of the surface was soon affected, and the Safe Class and Euclid Class containment wings were both compromised. The Serpent's repeated physical strikes brought down the kinetic shields, damaging levels negative 26 through 19 and all of the containment wings. The casualties were now estimated to be around 273,000, and there had been multiple containment breaches, including SCP-173 and SCP-939. The power to the Guardian AI itself was lost, so with its last bit of energy, it managed to redirect power to containment and security systems, sealing off the containment wings and activating the drainage systems. A few weeks later, we're provided another message from Site 40 Director Alan Tibbles, which reads, "These have been some very hard months. Entire cities were annihilated. Countries damn near depopulated. Sites lost. Anomalies escaped. Truces made and broken. Friends, family, and loved ones we'll never see again were killed or turned into animals. The veil's gone. The Foundation's resources have been drained on a failed project, and the world as we know it is pretty much over. But so are the attacks. SCP-6004 has revisited the site of its awakening. It hasn't hit a single city in weeks, and rain has stopped making forests. There is hope now. Light at the end of the tunnel. This thing is going to sleep. We have excellent leads on how to keep it that way, and we will ensure it never wakes up again. We have a lot of work to do. A new world to make. Towns, cities, and sites to rebuild. New facilities to build, full of new means of production for food and materials. Billions of people to amnesticize. History books to rewrite, and effectively a whole new world to create. Luckily, it isn't the first time we've done this, and likely not the last. We can do this. You can do this. It will likely be the hardest thing you will do for us, but I promise you, it will be worth it." So the immediate threat is over, but the problems are far from it. Following the discovery of the core nature of SCP-6004 through Aboriginal rock art, extensive research into the history of SCP-6004, interviews with various communities, and the observed behavior of the entity throughout its period of activity, it's been determined that the serpent is able to be contained through a rigorous and intensive reordering of global human development and practices. Along with the development of tools capable of inducing sleep in entities of similar scope to the serpent, the Foundation must influence human civilization in such a way as to encourage a lack of outward expansion into wilderness areas, increased adoption of clean energies such as solar, wind, and nuclear power sources, and reduced reliance on unsustainable farming. In an effort to maintain societal progression, the Foundation and other organizations such as the GOC will be required to anomalously produce livestock, construction materials, and other amenities to reduce land usage.
Cities and townships will be encouraged to advance via subterranean and vertical expansion, and total expansion into wilderness areas to be determined on a case-by-case basis, but overall limited to below 30%. Current Foundation efforts toward the rebuilding of settlements, rehousing of refugees, and re-establishing power to affected areas have already lent themselves to these efforts. Areas not targeted by the Serpent were naturally selected to house refugees, and at no point did the entity attack solar or wind farms, leading to more widespread use out of convenience. Nuclear power was similarly used. It's believed that these sites and power sources will be ideal launching pads for the implementation of these proposed containment measures, and numerous locations suitable for the development of further cities, towns, and foundation complexes have already been identified. These measures are extreme, and will require the cooperation of both world governments and groups of interest. But in the face of SCP-6004 returning, they are warranted until such a time as the Foundation is able to fully contain the entity. A year later, an analysis is done of the Serpent's behavior since the introduction of the revised containment procedures. It has displayed significantly less aggressive tendencies when compared to earlier behaviors, and it's hypothesized that this is due to two main contributing factors. One is that the revised containment procedures have appeased the entity, and two is that it has essentially achieved the majority of its goals following its awakening. Each of these factors are evidenced by several observations and statements, and based on these factors and the Serpent's continued behavior, it's projected that the entity will soon return to a sleep state. Towards the end of 2021, the Foundation implemented revised containment procedures designed to appease SCP-6004, based on Australian Aboriginal Dreamtime lore. Since the implementation of these new procedures, the Serpent has been significantly calmer, having been observed ignoring multiple Foundation rebuilding efforts and not attacking a single human settlement. At one point, it approached Site 40 and simply stared at the building and the personnel. A corporal participating in a training exercise at the time says that it felt like they were being judged, and you could feel it even more than you could see it. After a minute, it flicked out its tongue, turned around, and swam away. The Serpent has also been observed spending a great deal of time at the area formerly housing the GOC's advanced weapons facility. Despite multiple attempts to dig out lake beds and river sites, the rains generated by the entity have failed to produce lakes, rivers, or trigger plant growth as seen in other areas, with wildlife regurgitated by the entity all expiring within hours of placement. Previous models of the Serpent's behavior suggest that such events would trigger violent outbursts from the entity, yet it has only responded by leaving the area. It then proceeded to the Amazon rainforest, where it remained for a further 3 days. The other primary cause of the Serpent's reduced hostility is likely a result of it achieving its goals, primarily the reversion of the global environment to a state similar to that of pre-human habitation, and the repopulation of various species of endangered and extinct flora and fauna. It has been observed that as global temperatures have fallen, the Serpent has appeared less aggressive. The same can be said in regards to global wildlife populations rising, and the reduction of air pollution. Beyond a reduction in the number of attacks carried out by the Serpent, it has also been observed that the entity has not caused the anomalous growth of vegetation or regurgitation of wildlife since February 13, 2022. While attacks on human structures and settlements can be seen as an expression of aggression on behalf of the Serpent, the generation of forests, wildlife, lakes, and rivers is exclusively motivated by returning its environment to a pre-human state. The cessation of this behavior indicates that the entity is satisfied with the current world state. Following its visitation of the Amazon, the serpent has been sighted resting within large bodies of water multiple times, and its movements have become noticeably more sluggish, displaying signs of fatigue, including yawning. It has been heading in a consistent direction, with predictive models placing it as heading towards the Wollemai National Park, where it was first discovered. Barring unforeseen outcomes or provocation, it's estimated that it will return to the site of its discovery by late October 2022 and re-enter a period of hibernation. Project Mongoose research is being utilized in the development of technologies capable of ensuring that it will remain in hibernation. Following this, it's possible that widespread use of amnestics on global populations may allow the Foundation to rebuild a veil of secrecy. Additionally, attacks on humans by wild animals have continued to be much more frequent than before the serpent's discovery, with these attacks universally occurring within newly formed wilderness areas, and displaying teamwork beyond the capabilities of species involved, with some cases involving the cooperation of multiple differing species. However, these attacks have become less frequent as time progresses, and eyewitness statements have observed that where animals would previously chase or attack any individual found within wilderness areas, animals have more frequently been seen to observe people at a distance, often withdrawing after a short period. Attacks by these animals can be broadly categorized into five categories: rabid, provoked, defensive, predatory, and guided, with the first four being typical, and the last being believed to occur due to the serpent's influence. The working theory is that this behavior may involve lingering influence associated with its apparent desire to prevent human impact on natural environments. While attacks of this nature were previously observed to be immediate and coordinated, more recent encounters appear to have been limited to individuals who were in the process of activities discouraged by the current containment procedures, such as land clearing, waste dumping, and recreational hunting. Given the trend of observation before attack, it is believed that sustainable, low-impact activities within wilderness areas will soon be safe for the civilian population to engage in, along with low-impact construction. Lastly, we're given the revised version of the containment procedures and description for SCP-6004. Its object class is now listed as Keter, and the containment procedures involve 27 Lloyd Tibbles consciousness nullification devices installed around the perimeter of the serpent's containment area in Wollemai National Park. These devices were derived from Project Mongoose, Scranton Reality Anchors, and other technologies provided by donors and derived from assets that are designed to block an entity from accessing a conscious state of mind, locking them into sleep or a coma. To further ensure that 6004 does not breach containment, the Foundation is to continue to encourage world governments to limit expansion into wilderness areas, and all human activity in these areas must be as non-destructive as possible. A joint effort between the Foundation, the GOC, and the Mana Charitable Foundation has been established to anomalously produce food, construction, and technological materials rendered impractical to produce conventionally by these containment procedures. As for the description, it's mostly what we already know, with it currently being 700 kilometers long and being practically impervious to damage. It also is capable of displaying a compelling and direct influence over the natural world, up to and including a clear influence over the behavior of wild animals. During the latter parts of its previous activity, attacks by various large and small fauna on humans were common. These attacks often involved multiple disparate species working in tandem, until apparently satisfied. This behavior has continued under specific circumstances after its hibernation, universally involving aggressive habitat expansion or
activities such as recreational hunting, acting as catalysts. It is extremely probable that any future conscious activity on the part of SCP-6004 may lead to the extinction of human civilization. For this reason, for the survival of society, it must remain asleep. And there you have it. A rather unique scenario here, in which an anomalous entity came around and beat on the planet for a while, with the Foundation powerless to stop it. Normally, such a situation would involve the end of humanity or all civilization, but in this case, it simply wanted to teach us a lesson. Obviously, the entire piece was written to be a diatribe against various groups and individuals that have done damage to the environment or otherwise ignored that damage. And while such stories are hardly a new concept and can often come off as heavy-handed, SCP-6004 remains as an interesting article in the SCP universe. It's notable to point out that the Foundation itself had no interest in protecting or caring about the environment in general, until doing so became part of their own goals. The concept of a giant monster that awakens to exact revenge on humanity for various damages we've done isn't a new concept either. But while these stories often involve the monster either being killed or otherwise stopped, this one was somewhat unique. A giant snake showed up and told humanity to quit messing around, and they really had no choice but to listen.